After a week in Hamanham, Magellan gave the order to weigh anchor on Monday, March 25th, while light rain dappled the water's surface. The following night, the crew spied an island distinguished by a dull red glow, the unmistakable sign of campfires, and they knew they were not alone. In the morning, Magellan decided to risk approaching, and in a now familiar ritual, they were greeted by another small boat, this one bearing 8 warriors with unknown intentions. Magellan's slave, Enrique, addressed them in a Malay dialect, and to Magellan's astonishment, the men appeared to understand him and replied in the same tongue. No one, not even Magellan, knew how Enrique managed to converse with the islanders. As the islanders came alongside the ship, the captain general attempted to entice them with a red cap and other things tied to a bit of wood, so said Pigafetta. Still, they remained at a distance. Finally, Magellan's peace offerings were set out on a plank pushed in the canoe's direction. The men in the boat enthusiastically seized the gifts and paddled back to shore, where, Magellan presumed, they displayed their trophies to their ruler. Wrote Pigafetta, "About 2 hours later, we saw 2 balangay coming. They are large boats, full of men, and their king was in the larger of them, being seated under an awning of mats." Magellan tried to conduct himself as a gracious visitor, but he was outdone by the generosity of the king, who proffered, said Pigafetta, a large bar of gold and a basketful of ginger. Magellan politely but firmly refused to accept this tribute, but he remained on such friendly terms with the natives that he moved his ship's anchorage closer to the king's hut for the night, as a symbol of their newfound allegiance. This encounter with indigenous people was shaping up as the Armada's most peaceful and successful since their delirious layover in Rio de Janeiro. A king willing to give gold and ginger might have other resources, and perhaps even women, but experience had shown Magellan that opening gestures could be deceptive, if not outright dangerous. The next day, Good Friday of 1521, Magellan put his relationship with the islanders to the test. He sent Enrique ashore on the island of Limasawa. Once he was ashore, Enrique asked the Limasawan ruler, Raja Colambu, to send more food to the fleet, for which payment would be rendered. As instructed, he added, as Pigafetta said, that they would be well satisfied with us, for Magellan had come to the islands as friends and not as enemies. The king responded favorably to the request and came himself, along with, so said Pigafetta, 6 or 8 men. All of them boarded the flagship. Pigafetta continued, he embraced the captain general, to whom he gave 3 porcelain jars covered with leaves and full of raw rice and 2 very large orades, the dorado, a fish. In return, Magellan, said Pigafetta, gave the king a garment of red and yellow cloth made in the Turkish fashion, and a fine red cap. Then the captain general had a collation spread for them, and told the king through a slave that he desired to be kasi-kasi with him. The king replied that he also wished to enter the same relations with the captain general. This was a strong statement. To be kasi-kasi meant that Magellan wished to become blood brothers with the island king, a ceremony requiring the mingling of their blood. Genus de Mafra said, both cut their chests, and the blood was poured into vessel and mixed together with wine, and each of them drank 1/2 of it. The understanding nearly unraveled when Magellan decided to ask one of his gunners to demonstrate an arquebus, and the spectacle, all smoke and fire and noise, made the natives greatly frightened, said de Mafra. Recent experience should have warned Magellan that a show of force was courting disaster. But he could not resist the urge to impress the king with the power of European weapons. Magellan gave an even more astonishing demonstration as he brought out one of his men, who was dressed in armor from his knees to his neck. Then 3 other Europeans, armed with swords and daggers, struck him repeatedly. As the blows fell and glanced off the armor, the clank of metal on metal echoing across the water, the king was rendered speechless, said Pigafetta. The king seemed to think that these visitors possessed superhuman powers. No man could have withstood the shower of blows, yet the armored soldier had done just that. Gratified by the king's reaction to the swordplay, Magellan instructed Enrique his slave and translator, to tell the king that one of those armed men was worth 100 of his own men, in Pigafetta's words, and boasted that his armada brought with it 200 warriors equipped with armor and weapons, swords, halberds, and daggers. The message was plain. A wise leader would do well to keep Magellan as an ally rather than antagonize him. Recovering from the shock of what he had seen, the king hastily agreed that a single warrior in armor was worth 100 natives. Pigafetta wrote, "Early on the morning of Sunday, the last of March, and Easter Day, the captain general sent the chaplain ashore to celebrate Mass. They explained the importance of the occasion to the king, so that he would not feel it necessary to feed everyone. But neither he nor his royal brother could resist, and they sent 2 freshly slaughtered pigs to the Europeans. And then some of the islanders decided to worship alongside them." Pigafetta wrote, "Once the Mass began, the islanders gradually fell under its incantatory spell, barely comprehending the rite's significance, but feeling its spiritual power nonetheless. Before the commencement of Mass, the captain general sprinkled the entire bodies of the 2 kings with musk water." Pigafetta wrote, "The Mass was celebrated. The kings went forward to kiss the cross as we did, but they did not participate in the Eucharist. When the body of our Lord was elevated, they remained on their knees and worshipped him with clasped hands. The ships fired all their artillery at once when the body of Christ was elevated, the signal having been given from the shore with muskets. After the conclusion of the Mass, some of our men took communion. After the solemn observance, it was time to celebrate. To amuse and impress his hosts, Magellan organized a fencing tournament, in Pigafetta's words, at which the kings were greatly pleased. Next, Magellan ordered his men to display the cross, complete with nails and crown, and explained to the kings that his own sovereign, King Charles, had given these objects to him, so that wherever he might go, he might set up those tokens. Now he wished to set up the cross on their island. The kings gratefully accepted the cross as a totem without having any idea of what it actually meant. Magellan inquired about the islanders' religious beliefs," wrote Pigafetta. "They replied that they worshipped nothing, but that they raised their clasped hands and their faces to the sky, and that they called their god Abba." Magellan indicated that their god sounded reassuringly familiar, and, in Pigafetta's words, "seeing that, the first king raised his hands to the sky and said that he wished it were possible for him to make the captain general see his love for him." The discussion turned to politics. Magellan asked if the king had any enemies. If so, Magellan would, said Pigafetta, go with his ships to destroy them and render them obedient. By doing so, he hoped to strengthen their bond and establish a permanent Spanish presence in the newly discovered archipelago. As it happened, the king said there were, according to Pigafetta, 2 islands hostile to him, but it was not the season to go there. Hearing this, Magellan told him that if God would again allow him to return to those districts, he would bring so many men that he would make the king's enemies subject to him by force. This was a curious offer, because nothing in Magellan's charter from King Charles mentioned fighting tribal wars or mass conversions to Christianity. He was supposed to, as the orders stated, go in search of the strait, demonstrate that the Spice Islands belonged to Spain, and return in ships laden with spices. Now he put aside his commercial goals in favor of conversions and conquest. Considering his work done, Magellan announced his intention to depart in the morning. Despite all the pigs and rice and wine the kings had bestowed on them, the captain general declared he needed even more food, and the kings recommended the island of Cebu as a convenient place to forage. Magellan asked the king for local pilots to escort the fleet to Cebu, and the king happily complied. But in the morning, said Pigafetta, he asked for love of him to wait 2 days until he should have his rice harvested and other trifles attended to. Pigafetta continued, he asked the captain general to send him some men to help him so that it might be done sooner, and said that he intended to act as our pilot himself. Magellan agreed, said Pigafetta, but the kings ate and drank so much that they slept all day. Some said to excuse them that they were slightly sick. Their departure delayed for 48 hours. The crew fell to trading with the islanders. When a crew member went ashore to fetch water, he was offered a large crown made of gold in exchange for 6 strings of glass beads. But Magellan blocked the trade. The gold was far more valuable than the glass beads, but Magellan did not want the islanders to know how precious the Europeans considered gold. He instructed his men to treat it as just another metal. The ruse worked, and the Armada, trading iron for gold, pound for pound, acquired vast riches. The gold they had acquired so easily would be worth a fortune in Spain, but the spices Magellan expected to find were even more valuable than gold. The Armada resumed its wanderings through the Philippine archipelago, dodging reefs so treacherous that even their native pilots hesitated. As a succession of warm, humid days and passionate nights in the Philippines passed, discontent among the crew subsided. All the crew members were aware of the Armada's achievements. They had conquered an immense ocean and dispelled 1,000 years of accumulated misconceptions about the world. And they were beginning to savor the available women, exotic food, and tantalizing hints of the Spice Islands, of which they had dreamed for so long. Yet a shadow hung over Magellan. Even if the rest of the expedition went flawlessly, there would be hell to pay when he returned to Spain for marooning Cartagena and the priest.